Welcome to Echotones. I'm Joy LaClaire. 40 years ago in 1985, composer Ann Phillips created Bending Toward the Light, a jazz nativity in New York City, where it's been performed each year since. 30 years ago, Beth Ann Kennedy began directing Bending Toward the Light and has been doing it every year since. 2 years ago, she directed and produced, and Ann Phillips conducted, the Montana premiere here in Bozeman to wild appreciation. This December 4th, 7th, and 11th, 2025, at Hope Lutheran Church, Beth Ann Kennedy produces and directs it again. Welcome to Echotones, Beth Ann Kennedy. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Joy, what a pleasure to be with you.
Beth Ann, you are a well-known and loved promoter of the arts and peace here in Bozeman. You are a light bringer, and in this time of the waning of the light in our northern hemisphere, bringing the light brings comfort and joy. You are producing the wonderful jazz nativity extravaganza, Bending the Light Again, here in Bozeman. And this year represents a couple of wonderful anniversaries for the show. Before we get into the specifics of this year's production, tell us about how significant this year is for both you and the show's creator, Ann Phillips.
This is the 40th anniversary of Bending Towards the Light in New York City. And I wasn't there 40 years ago. I didn't start directing it until 1995. But to celebrate what Ann has done over these 40 years is huge. So in New York City on December 22nd, we will have that show. And we're doing a broadcast-ready film of it as well. Some of the performers have been in it as long as I have been in it. You know, it's a really wonderful opportunity for people each year to revisit and to recognize how important this message is. And Ann will be conducting for the 40th year.
In New York.
Yes.
In New York. Yeah. So it's the 40th anniversary of the show in New York City. But it's the 30th anniversary that you have directed it. Let's emphasize that. Those are big deal anniversaries.
1995. Yes, remember it well. Lincoln Center. It changed the trajectory of my life, this show.
Am I right? This is the second anniversary of the show Bending Towards the Light here in Bozeman.
Yes, we did two performances in 2023. It was the Montana premiere, and now we're doing three shows this year, 2025.
It's not just New York and Bozeman. There are also performances in Tucson, Arizona, Greensboro, North Carolina, and LaGrange, or however they say it, Illinois. What do they say, LaGrange?
LaGrange.
Yeah, okay.
The Tucson show, those shows premiered last year in 2024, and Robert Ancila, who is producing those, worked for many years in New York in the performances that we did there, as well as another show that Ann Phillips created called What Are We Doing to Our World? So we've known Robert, and Robert has wanted to do this show in Tucson for years and years and years, and put it together last year, and then is doing these shows this December 2025. The other shows, we have done it around the country for the last 30 years in places like Topeka and certainly Chicago and Colorado Springs, Colorado, just all different locations. We've moved it to Utica, Syracuse, and sometimes we do it in a community, that community picks it up and then goes forward because it can be produced that way. We used to have a practice of a group could bring us in, Anne, myself, certain of the musicians in, and we could launch it with them the first year and then they could take it over, or we would just do kind of one-offs. So there's been, throughout the years, there's all been all sorts of ways to introduce it to the country. It is a heavy lift. Even here, after the show was done, even I had musicians that agreed to do it, but they said, I had no idea what this was. And then I did it. When are we doing it again? It gets people so engaged. And then the communities want the show to be repeated as well, which is really great. But it has a large cast, and it's, I don't want to say it's difficult. It's just that it's not a easy production because there's so many different pieces to it.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts. And
Yes.
since people expressed they had no idea what it was, what is it, Beth Ann?
The easy line is it's the traditional Christian nativity story told through the medium of jazz. So that's the simple answer. But the years that I've worked with it, I see community, all the different individuals that make up community. We do have shepherds. We do have kings and queens. We do have angels that kind of can see the future and are at peace with what goes on. And we do have the naivete of a young mother. We have all those aspects, but on stage, they all come together and they all find the central purpose of love, support, community. And with that, I think that that can inspire all of us in what we do to know that we can continue to bend to the light. We can bend to joy. We can want to listen to love and go forward with actions that encourage, as I always say, community, whether that community is right here in Bozeman or the community of the country or the community of the world. And that's to me the message of the show, because we have this kind of traditional pageantry piece, which is really fun because everybody's a musician, a dancer, a singer. And then once we have done that, and you see the traditional tableau with the kings and the shepherds and Mary, and we have that, and then the last third of the performance is celebration. And to me, if I'm willing to show up and do my work and be kind and work forward with a level of integrity, I do get to celebrate. And I get to celebrate with those around me that feel the same. That's to me the message behind it, and to encourage everybody to go into the next year. I mean, Anne and I have talked for now, 30 years, how at the end of the year, sometimes you can feel that your efforts might not make a difference. And this always makes us feel, yes, I'm gonna go into the next year as joyous as I can and as driven as I possibly can be to show up on this planet and be a real human being, which is this incredible opportunity to embrace all of the qualities of kindness.
I think a question may come up for listeners who aren't particularly comfortable with jazz. How do you respond to those sorts of issues?
We've had different things. I've had people say, jazz is not my thing. I've had people say, I didn't know I liked jazz until I went to this show. I think one of the pieces is because there is new music, which is usually there's citations that Anne has placed to music. And a lot of times that's much more classical than jazz. But then the jazz pieces are done on, I mean, they're all different arrangements, but they're traditional, what we hear as Christmas music, carols. So people connect with the carol and the fact that the musician might do their own individual spontaneous riff, they're still connecting with the carol. And so a lot of people, they don't think of it the same way that when you think about going to a jazz concert.
I can agree with that from having attended the magnificent 2023 performance. Let's describe what audience members experience. It's in Hope Lutheran Church. Will you take it from there?
Hope Lutheran Church, and they're really morphing into Hope Lutheran Center for the Performing Arts, I feel has one of the finest acoustically developed spaces in Bozeman. And I've worked in a lot of spaces, and I've worked in a lot of churches. And churches can be great locations, but the hard surfaces alone, sometimes it's more challenging, and it's more challenging with horn sections and things like that. Hope, the sound quality in that space alone is magnificent. So that's great. And then the openness of the space, the fact that they have two screens so that you can act, if you're not right up next to the stage and seeing the tap dancers' feet, you are seeing them because they're right up on the screens. I think that's really beneficial. And it's such a community space anyway. Churches are always open, but it has a less, maybe it's not formal, maybe dogma. It's not, it's really an open, the woods of the space. I think it just really encourages everybody to want to be there. For me, I don't think anybody would go there feeling, oh my gosh, this is not my church. Instead, it's like, this is a beautiful space to sit and enjoy this music and this dance and have a wonderful holiday opportunity.
A couple of things in what you just said resonate. It's more than just music and dance, in my opinion. It's multimedia. There's so much going on. It's just really invigorating. And it is a community event. At least in 2023, I can testify that you achieved a celebration of community in which people entered the space not knowing what the heck is going to happen and left the space going, wow, I'm so glad we're alive together. And I just feel so much better than I did when I came in. And in an age where we spend so much time in isolation, especially at this time of year, that's not just welcome, it's needed. So, congratulations.
Oh, Joy, that is so special. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to emphasize the word congratulations because I'm a word person, and we are recording this a few days before Thanksgiving. And that brings up the concept of gratitude. And gratitude has the same root as congratulation from the Latin, and that has the same root as the word grace. And to me, grace is, I don't even know what the word is, not attribute, but well, grace is a gift, really, is what it comes down to. It has nothing to do with what we merit or deserve or work for. It just either is there or it isn't. And it's not that you can't promote grace, because you do, Beth Ann, you definitely do. But there's something miraculous about grace. And you can cultivate it, you can invite it, but it doesn't always show up, I'll tell you. And to create a space where grace is welcome and at home is miraculous. And you have done that in the past, and I fully anticipate that the potential for it to happen again is there. And speaking of cultivating, one of the things about being a producer is that your work is largely hidden. People don't really know what goes into producing. So, share with us some of what goes into producing a show like Bending Towards the Light. What are some of the challenges? What's involved?
I think my biggest challenge is it does involve raising sponsorship. Unless we were to charge a lot more for tickets, which I don't want to do. For one thing, there's 85 in the cast. Fortunately, we have this gorgeous choir and they are all wonderful volunteers. But musicians are paid, then they are paid really properly for their investment, their time investment, and their talent in the show. The sponsorships are necessary. And we all know we live in this city that sometimes they say we have more nonprofits per capita than any other city in America. I'm not quite sure if that's still true or not, but we have all these companies and people are always coming after them and saying, please help us financially or in-kind gifts or something. So to go to organizations, I work not to plead, but 2 years ago, nobody knew what it was. And it was a really heavy lift because to try to explain to somebody who's running a business and they've got 2 seconds anyway to help them even get to it. I seem to have a lot of enthusiasm and that's encouraging for people. But to really get somebody to sign a check, to commit. And so that part I find really hard. I find it difficult to ask people for money. That's a big piece of it. So that is the most difficult piece. What I love doing, though, is that I love when a company or an individual offers, says, okay, I'm in, I'm going to sponsor you, I'm going to give you this amount of money. I have a tremendous joy in recognizing what they do. And starting the show out, especially 2 years ago, there was nothing in the bank for it. So to start and know, it's not like I can start and start doing advertising or anything like that. There's starting from absolute scratch. This year, I started with a little bit of money, but basically nothing to go forward. And then even for myself, figuring out, okay, I'm doing this because I think it's so important, but I still need to make a living. So there's that aspect of it is how am I covering everything else while I'm doing this, which is just kind of what so many of us go through. Getting the cast this year was of absolutely no problem whatsoever. I sent out a message in spring to everybody that had worked on the show before. And I mean, it was amazing the amount of emails that got back right away going, yes, when? Figuring out dates, because in Bozeman, we have so many great things going on at the same time. Even Hope, which has become a really, really a facility that people want to use. So finding the dates that are going to work out for that, finding dates that will not conflict with other great things like the Nutcracker and the symphony. And so that's a piece of it. And to make sure that all my performers can do it because they're not committed. I want this heavy investment with Montana State University. And so you're coming up to the end of a semester and they've got exams and they've got their concerts at school. So making sure that everybody has time to do the different aspects that they've agreed to. There's a lot of scramble. There's a lot of pieces. There's finding volunteers. There's finding ways to get any kind of press that we can without it adding to the budget. To get people to agree to offer services of any kind that they can, accounting services or whatever. There's a lot of different pieces. And it's interesting, as much as I want the production to be done, what I really want to be doing with it is the directing. And so often, it's like, okay, when are you going to find the time to make sure that you can add your directorial gifts, which I feel that's a talent far better than I think as a producer. So will I give myself the breath to do that? We're doing a couple of different things this year. I want the Indigenous presence to be much greater because I'm so aware of the need for that in Montana, but also in the world. And so making sure that it's not just an idea I have, but that I've totally fleshed it out and going to have it be presented on stage in a way that people will feel comfortable with it and will absorb it. And also that my performers will feel that I am directing them in a way that they can actually deliver what I've asked for. And so that becomes a challenge for me that I'm so busy producing that I'm not giving enough focus to the directing. And I've really worked this year to bring on people because 2 years ago, I did not have individuals that could commit the way they have this year. So even people like somebody doing costumes this year, I'm so grateful that somebody is handling that. So I'm not literally zipping up zippers and then running out and talking to my sponsors and then making sure the usher's in the right place. It's like, that's a piece that I want to, that I'm really working to make sure that within my calendar, I'm putting down specifically the creative components of directing.
You mentioned that many of the performers from the 2023 program will be coming back. How about the children who were in that performance?
Fortunately, the two, I would say children, they're in their early years of high school, but they are with us again. Their parts have been altered a bit. Madison Sheedy is still our beautiful child shepherd, but she is also doing another piece in it. And Lillian Doyle, Shane Doyle's daughter, she was the spirit of Mary last time. And this is one of the things that coming up with this idea of how to have a stronger Indigenous presence. She is performing with her dad to really grace, as you use the word, grace the space in a traditional shawl dress that her mother is making for her right now. She has one, but she's making a new one for the show. So she'll be in the show again and then has pieces during the rest of the show that again, creative directorial piece. So they're both in it. Sam, who was I'm not, I mean, she looks so childlike but a young woman in her mid-20s. She is not with us this year. She is not living in Montana anymore. She was our tap queen and was so delightful. But Catherine Kramer, and Catherine Kramer is the only person in the cast that's different. Everybody else is from 2023, but Catherine Kramer, who has a home here, but often is like she's around the world as a tap dancer and does workshops. She'll be the tap queen this year.
That's another thing. The traditional story is the three kings. That's not how we do it here. There's queens and kings.
I can't remember. I know it was in the early 2000s, 2001 or 2002. We were doing this show in New Jersey, Trenton, and there was a blizzard, and we had performers coming in from all over the place, and some of them could not get to the theater. And one of them was Clark Terry, who was coming in from Harworth, New Jersey. I know this because it's the town I was born in. So Clark Terry could not get there, but Ingrid Jensen was already playing as a special guest. So one of the things coming up, it's like, okay, we have two kings and we have an incredible trumpet queen. And that person, Ingrid Jensen, will be our queen in New York City this year. So that's where it started. You have a woman, Ann Phillips, who's produced this show and done all the arrangements. She's a composer. She's always been the conductor. And myself, female director, and it was like, this epiphany goes off. Wait a minute, why can't we have a queen? So that's when it started. So the tap dance in New York, we have Maurice Chestnut is our tap dancer. But here, it just seemed great, the idea of having a tap dance queen.
Interesting you chose the word epiphany because, of course, that is the Feast of the Three Kings. You had mentioned in private that the government shutdown complicated things. Could you expand on that, please?
There are people in our cast and our crew that rely on government services to make their financial life work out, whether that means feeding their children and themselves. So, yes, a huge impact on their daily experience. So, that impacted what was going on and trying to figure out ways to support their work. One, of course, I've got a show that has to come off. We've sold tickets, we've got everything lined up, but to be there to support what they were doing, I think that's a big piece. Musicians notoriously are not, unless they've become famous. I mean, most musicians, they've got their milk money jobs. In New York City, the musicians that we work with, quite a few of them, they do teach, but there's so many gigs in New York, they can actually be full-time musicians. Here in Bozeman, we have these incredible musicians here, but many of them have to have side gigs, and they're not making the money that Bozeman demands for housing and the different aspects of how expensive it is to live here. So it did impact people in our team, our technical team, our musicians on their comfort zone. And because you don't know how long this is going to go on for, that's a piece of it too.
Just to be clear, you and the production are not receiving any government funds.
No. But as a that's a it's an interesting point. A lot of the groups that supported us in 2023 have lost. Montana PBS, that we're spotlighting along with YPR on the opening performance on December 4th, when Dr. Brock Tessman and First Lady Kristen Tessman will be opening up the show for us, using the words of Charles Kuralt, our former host. They've been hit heavily. So what they can do in response, that's hit. So yes, there are these organizations that in 2023 were able to do more. They just can't because they're working to make sure they can continue to do what they are mandated to do as organizations. It goes back to pre the government shutdowns, but the cutbacks of grants, et cetera, that happened in the beginning of the administration. It has impacted the arts tremendously. I don't know why we want to kill the arts when they are so important and valuable to us as human beings.
Oh, I have some ideas of why they want to kill the arts, and particularly some kinds of arts. But anyway, that's beyond the scope of our interview.
I will say that Montana State University, and specifically the College of Art and Architecture, have been incredibly supportive. Ryan Massacre, the head of the jazz department there, is great. Dean Adams for the College of Art and Architecture has been great. And then I've been working also with the business school, and I have an intern that's helping me with the accounting and that piece of it, because there's a lot of checks to write.
Beth Ann Kennedy, are there any things that you wish we had covered that we didn't so far in this interview?
As you talked about the show having such an incredibly beneficial effect, the word that I've heard so often is it's a gift. 2 years ago, a friend of mine said, "You brought Christmas back." And at this time, we think a lot about gifts. And what I am doing this year is that we are recognizing organizations here in our area in Montana that give the gifts of their passion all year long to us. So the opening show, as I mentioned, we're spotlighting Montana PBS and YPR. That's December 4th, and it's an evening show at 7. And then December 7th, which is a Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we're specifically honoring Warriors in Quiet Waters and what they do for veterans all around the country, actually. But the organization is here. I've had the privilege of working with the team at Warriors in Quiet Waters, and they are just incredible people. Their thoughtfulness, their intelligence, how they deliver the message and the support that they do. And then on the final night, which is December 11th, and that is a 7 o'clock show, recognizing seven organizations here that support children to bend towards this light of love and compassion and community. And that will be Thrive and Bozeman Art Museum in the Schools and Montana Shakespeare in the Schools, the Shane Center in Livingston, Eagle Mount and Greater Gallatin United Way, and the Montana Mindfulness Project. There's seven of them, and it was hard because there's so many wonderful organizations here in Bozeman that support our children. But those are the ones that I really wanted to spotlight this year, knowing also that like these organizations have been hit with the grant funding that they get. One other thing you had mentioned when you were talking about grace, we can stand up and have like, I'm going to have high morals and high integrity, and I'm going to do all these things. And I think sometimes life comes along and says, okay, prove it. Prove that you can go forward in your life and not lie or deceive or manipulate. Prove it. And I don't think that's it's necessarily you decide to be upright and then life gets easy. And I think we fool ourselves to think if we do stand up and say, I'm going to go forward fearlessly, when there are a lot of things that happen in life that you kind of go, gosh, I'm gonna give up or give in. And to maintain that, I have found in my life it's continued to be a challenge. And therefore I've always enjoyed being encouraged. So Joy, knowing you and your name is so perfect for you, you've always encouraged me to go forward and to stand upright and to bring grace into everything. And I think that if we all do that for each other, we will see all the good that exists in human beings. And that's what gets me going. But that doesn't mean that I haven't at times gone, okay, enough is enough. Life is too hard. It is hard. It's unfortunate that we ever think that it's going to be easy, because living life is an adventure and it's also a huge challenge. It's a huge lift.
Well, Beth Ann Kennedy, thank you for joining us again on Echo Tones and for the wonderful work you do, not just in Bozeman, but wherever you are.
Oh, thank you.
You have just heard a conversation with Beth Ann Kennedy, producer and director of Bending Toward the Light, a jazz nativity. There will be three performances at Hope Lutheran Church on the evening of Thursday, December 4th at 7, 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 7th, and 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 11th. You can find out more or get tickets at jazznativity.org/Bozeman. Wiseman. Echo Tones is a Beyond the Deep End production, hosted and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on KGVM-FM and KGVM.org. You can support our listener-sponsored community radio and help us continue to bring you quality programs of, by, and for our community by going to KGVM.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page. We thank you for listening and for your support.